Hopefully spread the word. You guys might want to spread the word among some of the other students that we're still having this during the summer so that we get a good group in here.
People would just read their daily notes.
I know.
It's there.
It's there. I check it every week. It's there. Anyway, welcome to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew Summer Edition. And we are up in a sauna room that will really help us, I guess, because the heat is on David anyway. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 26, and we're going to finish the chapter today. We're just about ready to start verse 19. And remember, this is a parallel account to 1 Samuel 24. In that chapter, David snuck into Saul's camp and cut away a piece of his cloak, remember? And then showed it to him. And in this particular one, remember, while Saul was sleeping, he snuck in and took his water jug and his chanit, his spear. And this is the ensuing conversation about that. And if you go back and look at the two accounts, David speaks in a similar way in both and uses even some similar vocabulary that you only find in these two chapters here. So it's kind of interesting how he talks to Saul and, again, how Saul responds. All right? So we're going to pick it up at verse 19 and finish at verse 25, get to the end of the chapter, and then we'll start chapter 27 next week. Okay, verse 19. Va'ata yishmanado ni hamelech, et divre avdo im Yahweh hasita kabi yarach mincha. Stop there. Va'ata, and now, again, you can tell that David's concluding his talk, okay, with the ve'ata. And so, now notice this particle of politeness with the na, and so I would translate it as a justice force. He's making this polite request. He's being deferential to Saul. Again, David's speaking. So you would translate it, may Adoni HaMelech, may my Lord the King hear or listen to et divrei, the words of his servant. Pause. Right? And again, David throughout, notice he's calling, he doesn't say, may you listen, or he doesn't use the imperative, you listen. See, you could have used those. But notice, may my Lord the King. He always talks to Saul like that. Right? If Yahweh hesitika, notice the, can anyone see what the root of hesitika is? It's kind of tough. It's a not that common of word. It's a hollow root, so it's from suit, and it means to incite. So this is a hiphil perfect third masculine singular from suit to incite. So notice the subject, if Yahweh hasitika, if Yahweh has incited you be against me. Okay, so if Yahweh has incited you against me, yarach minka. Okay, now yarach, this is kind of an interesting form. You'll probably know the root once I tell you. This is from Ruach, and this is a hiphil form. Ruach means to smell. Remember when Yahweh smells the sweet savor? Ruach Rekiah, in the legislative part of the Pentateuch, you see that. May Yahweh regard it as a favorable offering. Kind of in English, that's what it means. May Yahweh accept the offering. Okay, so Mincha. So it would be, if Yahweh has incited you against me, may he accept a mincha, may he accept an offering. Alright, or I think Jewish Publication Society has it, may he be appeased by an offering, by a mincha, by a gift. Alright? Now, David doesn't, I don't know if David thinks that that's a possibility or if he's just throwing it out there again just to be nice. Because here's the next if clause, next conditional. Ve'im, but if, v'nei ha'adam, I'm sorry, ve'im v'nei ha'adam, you got to pause there, arurim hey lifnei Yahweh. But if, literally, sons of the man, but how would we translate that in English? What does it mean, common? V'nei ha'adam, human beings. But if human beings, see, so he's contrasting, if Yahweh has incited you against me, may he be appeased with an offering. But if human beings, then you have to supply the verb. If human beings have incited you, see, Now, Arurim Haim Lifne Yahweh. Arurim is a call, passive participle from the root arar. Okay, to curse, to be cursed. Cursed may Haim, they be Lifne Yahweh. Before the Lord, before Yahweh. Okay? So, but if the sons of men, but if human beings did it, cursed may they be before Yahweh. Okay? Ki Gershu Hayom may histapeach benachalat Yahweh. For they have driven me. This is from the root garash. You can remember just garage, you drive your car into the garage. Garage, to drive away. This is a PL, perfect from garash. Alright? For they have driven me, Hayom, today, may histapeach benachalat Yahweh. This is from Safak, so it's a hitpael infinitive construct. It's like obviously a rare word. It means to join or attach yourself. Okay? For they have driven me today from attaching myself or joining myself, Beth Nachalat Yahweh, to the inheritance of Yahweh. Lemor, saying, okay, Lake Avod Elohim Acherim, saying, Lake from imperative from Halak, go Avod, imperative from Avad, go serve other gods. And I think Lemor functions here as giving the meaning of the action. In other words, by driving me away from my inheritance, they are saying, go serve other gods. All right? Come on in. All right? So, yeah, so notice that he doesn't directly blame Saul for what's happening. He either says it's blame Yahweh, or if other men have put you up to this, may they be cursed. David's really clever here, I think. Does anyone have any questions about any of the grammar or anything of verse 19? It's quite a long verse, actually.
The verb ruach.
Yes.
Is that directly related to the noun ruach?
Yeah, I think that if you look in BDB, you'll find the noun ruach underneath that verb. Although, you know, meaning-wise, I don't know. The verb is not that common. Except in the legislative stuff, you'll see it, you know, especially like Leviticus. It's a sweet, and Yahweh regarded it as a sweet savor. You know, that's where you find that word.
Can you repeat the function for Lemor again?
Okay. Usually, Lemor indicates some kind of direct speech, but also sometimes it suggests the force of what's being said. In other words, it's very possible to understand it this way. Cursed may they be before Yahweh, for they have driven me today from joining the inheritance of the Lord. And while they were while doing that, they are saying, go serve other gods. But I don't think they actually said to David, go serve other gods. So the Lemor functions here as David's interpreting this action. So by forcing me to leave, you are saying, you know, you don't have any part in Yahweh. Go serve Yahweh. See, so when you drive someone from the homeland, you are basically saying you have no portion in Yahweh or in His inheritance. So I think he's interpreting their actions in that light. And Lemor can function that way. And it's kind of an interesting function, Lemor, that people don't always see. I learned that in an article in Hebrew Studies a couple years ago. Maybe I can, for next week, if I remember, I'll try to get that down for you, because it's kind of interesting. And also, Cynthia Miller did a book on direct speech in the Hebrew Bible and what it's prefaced by. And so she looked at some of the different functions of Lemor and saw this usage in a number of places, especially in a narrative like this. I'll have to check to see if she actually cites this one. She very well might. Good. Any other questions on 19? Okay, verse 20. Notice again another Vata. Vata al yipoldami artsa. And so, now notice the al kind of signals you, okay, we're going to be dealing with a volative. He's still making a request here. May my blood not fall, yipol, simple call from not fall. May my blood not fall, artsa, to the ground. Alright. Mineged pene Yahweh, before the face of Yahweh, or in the presence of Yahweh. Ki yatsamelech Yisrael lebakesh et Parosh Echad. Here's where you see the similar language and even the same vocabulary as you saw in 1 Samuel 24. For the king of Israel has come out, Yatsa, to Bakesh, to seek et Parosh, to seek a flea, Echad. One flea, a single flea, namely himself. Okay? Ka'asher Yirdof HaKore Beharim. Now you guys look at Kore and you think, I know what that means. That's a participle from Kara, to call. And it certainly is that, but in this context, it's a partridge, the bird, the partridge, like the partridge family. Kore. Beit HaKore would be the partridge family, right? The house of partridge, of the partridge. I just thought of that just now. Yeah, that's pretty good. On a hot day, it's not bad. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea, as Yirdof, as when one pursues the partridge, Beharim, in the mountains. Alright, so in other words, it's not even worth the trouble, he's saying. Now, I don't know if he's being a little disingenuous because he is anointed and he knows it. But notice his behavior is very different than what you see later in the narrative. I don't know if you remember, Beth, when Jehu was anointed, but wasn't he the one that smothered then his king, the king? after he was anointed, I mean, he killed the dude. David doesn't do that. Any questions on verse 20? Okay, verse 21. Here's again Saul's typical reaction when he's confronted with David's words. Really, David's word is always powerful to bring a change in Saul. Vayomer Shaul, chatati, shuv b'ni David ki lo ara l'ka'od. And Saul said, chatati, I have sinned. Shuv, return b'ni, my son David. Notice how he's talking. My son David. For not ara l'ka'od. For not will I do harm. This is from Ra'ah. Alright. Hiphil from Ra'ah. To be evil or to be bad. Here's the Hiphil. I will not do bad to you, Od. Again. Okay. Tachar Asher Yakra Nafshi Be'eneka Hayom Hazeh. Tachar Asher, just keep it as one word. You don't have to separate them. And it's causal here. Because Yakra is a verb, third feminine singular from yakar, a call, and the subject is nefesh. Because my soul was precious, I would translate life, for my life was precious in your eyes this day, hayom hazeh. Hine, look, hiskalti, sakal means to be foolish, so I have acted foolishly. Here's a hifil perfect. I have done foolishly, I have acted foolishly. Va eshke harbe me'od. Here's another way to go really bad. I screwed up really bad. Va eshke. What's the root of eshke? Again, not that. It's not that common of a word. Anyone see it? It's from shaga, means to err, a call, imperfect vav consecutive. So I have acted foolishly and I have erred. Now notice how this functions. Harbe. Notice that is an infinitive. All right? From Rava. And remember, Hebrew doesn't have a lot of adverbs, and so it uses other resources to make adverbs. We've seen them make adverbs out of regular nouns, out of that ending am, at the end of a word like yom, yomam would be daily. And so here you have very common the infinitive functioning as an adverb. I have erred harbe, greatly. And now me'ob, another one, strengthens the adverb. See, it modifies the adverb. I have erred greatly, very, very greatly. See, and remember, me'ob is really a substantive that means power or might. But it's commonly used as an adverb. All right. So notice in English, we form adverbs in different ways. Usually that ly ending, great, greatly. Here, Hebrew, we use a noun or an infinitive construct to get its point across. All right. Good. Any questions through 21? All right, very good. Verse 22. Vayan David vayomer hine chanit hamelech. Okay. Then David answered and said, what's the root of vayan? Anah. from Anah. David answered and said, look, now notice this. The Masoretes don't want you to read the definite article on spear. Why? Notice, does anyone know why?
Because it's construct.
It's in construct with hamelech, see? And so notice the construct word doesn't have the definite article on it. Plus you got, notice how many, you got the hey beforehand, so it's probably a dittography here, and the scribe in this manuscript just accidentally put it in there. So David answered and said, look, the spear of the king. The king's spear, Chanid. Okay? Ve'ya'avor echad me hane'arim ve'yikachecha. May one from hane'arim, may one from the young man, namely one of your servants, let one of your servants pass over. Remember, he was at a distance from him when he was talking, and there must have been a gap or a valley. So may one of your servants or young men pass over and get it from Lakai. Yikacheha. All right, so he even gave him back his weapons. Pretty nice dude. All right. Questions through 22.
On that,
yes.
That extra hay there.
Yeah.
The textual apparatus says multiple manuscripts don't have that. So right. Is this an example where the Leningrad Codex, like a rare example where the Leningrad Codex is just wrong?
Yeah, this is one of them where you have this. This is a good example of how the Masoretes are not going to change the text that they receive. They're preservers. And so they're reflecting probably the majority opinion or obviously simple grammatical common sense in not pronouncing it, but they're not going to get rid of it. And so they leave it in here. Yeah. I don't know how often this Leningrad Codex disagrees with the other manuscripts. Some people probably know that kind of stuff, but it probably varies a lot from book to book. Alright, verse 23. Vayaweh yashuv la'ish et zidkato et emunato. Okay. Yahweh yashiv, this is a hifil from shuv. Yahweh will return la'ish to a man et zidkato, his righteousness, and et emunatu, and his faithfulness. Namely, and maybe a little more in understandable English, Yahweh will reward or pay back to a man, or pay back a man for his righteousness and faithfulness. That's what David is saying. And he's referring to himself here, see, because of what he did. Okay, Asher netateka Yahweh hayom beyad. Now notice this. I think the best way to understand this is as a relative clause, and notice that usually, or in standard Hebrew, there's a resumptive pronoun, but instead you actually have the antecedent Yahweh coming after the relative clause. So it's, who gave you Yahweh today into my hand? See, who gave you Yahweh today into my hand? But in English you'd say, Yahweh who gave you today into my hand. And again, the my hand, notice the apparatus, 23a, you'll see many manuscripts have the yud at the end, and notice that a vav follows it, so again it would be very easy for it to drop out, because in a written manuscript the yuds and the vavs look very similar. Alright, so Yahweh will return or reward a man for his righteousness and faithfulness. Yahweh who gave, put you today into my hand. Okay, velo aviti, but I was not willing. That's from Ava, a call, perfect, first common singular, Ava, Aleph, Beit, He. But I was not willing, Lishloach Yadi, to send out my hand against the Mashiach Yahweh, against the Lord's anointed. Again, a common theme with David, right? So again, Yahweh will repay a man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Yahweh who gave you today into my hand. But I was not willing to send out my hand against the Lord's anointed.
Is that the word Messiah there?
That's where it comes from, Mashiach. Yep. Good. Any other questions on 23? Okay, 24. Vehine ka'asher gadol nafshaka hayom hazeh be'enai, Cain, tigdol nafshi be'enei Yahweh ve'yatzileni mikol tzara. Now look, v'hinei, now look, ka'asher, just as nafshaka, just as your life, gadol, was great, see I would say, was important, was valuable, hayom hazeh, this day, be'enei, in my eyes. So just, notice a comparison here, and the Cain follows it up very nicely, see? Now, so v'hinei, now look, just as your life was important this day in my eyes, thus may my life be important, be'enei Yahweh, in the eyes of Yahweh. Ve'yatzileni, and may He deliver me, from the root Natsal, a Hiphil, and may He deliver me from all tzara, from all distress. Okay. Questions? All right, very good. One more verse then. Vayomer Shaul el David. Then Saul said to David, Baruch atah b'ni David. Blessed are you, my son David. Baruch. Again, call passive parts. Remember, this root occurs in the PL when you bless someone, but in the call, this is the only form you got. Right? The majority of times you see it in the PL. Here, when it's call, it's always passive participle, and it's in these formulas. Blessed, you are blessed, or even may you be blessed, my son David. Maybe that's even a better way as a blessing formula. May you be blessed, David. Gam, oh, here I love these infinitive absolute constructions, guys. Get ready here. Gam, asota aseva, gam yakol to call. Notice you have the two gams, so not right away you can say both and. Alright, it's kind of stilted in English, but I'll do it that way. Now notice the force, listen to the force of the infinitive that I'm giving it, and there's other possibilities. Okay? You will both do well. You will do well, so notice I'm giving it an adverbial force. You will do well, and to call Yakul. And you will prevail totally. You will completely prevail. So notice that to call is again a simple call from Yakal, right? To be able or to prevail over. And aso is the call infinitive absolute. And notice you have the standard form, the same binyan or conjugation, call, as the finite verb ta'aseh and to call. Notice the force I gave them was as modifying the action. So you will do well, okay? And you will prevail totally or completely or successfully or something like that. You could also, you see, in the second one, it's easier. You will surely prevail. See the difference? You will surely prevail. And I guess you could give the first one, you will surely act and you will surely prevail. See, that's another possible interpretation of the force of the infinitive. Does everybody see the difference? We've talked about this before, but I want to be sure you get it because it just interests me what's really going on here. Is he really affirming the truth, you will surely act and you will surely prevail? Or is he saying something about you will act, you will do well, and you will prevail totally, not partially, see? So is it saying something about that action? That's what my dilemma is always with these. Okay? So notice that they're kind of automatically translated in one way or the other. It's fine. I think I looked at NASB. It does each one differently. You will act well and you will surely prevail, is what he said. So see, there's kind of ambivalence there. And that's, I suppose, possible if both meanings are. So now, just the end of the chapter. Vayelek David ledarko veshaul shav limkomo. So David went on his way, ledarko, and Saul returned from Shu to his place. Okay, we saw that at the end of 24, too. They departed in peace. Alright, good. Any questions? Alright. Well, notice in chapter 27, David is not as certain of Saul's genuine mind and heart as he seems to be here. So he makes provisions, let's say. But we'll start that next week. Thank you guys very much.